Liga me blanka lovprops. Harry och dra får segra till topps. Vinden är stödig och skuta ska gå. Stolt över Viljan blå. Det knakar i taljor och kättingar krin. Där vi våra skute i vår solaskin. Toppseglas
väl. 150 years ago, Norway had the third largest merchant navy in the world, and southern Norway was home to the bulk of the country's sailing ships. Agder's vast forests provided timber for shipbuilding, and the wind filled the ship's sails and drove them across the seven seas. After the peak years, however, there was a period of gradual decline. The Golden Age was replaced by periods of political and economic crisis, and sailing ships disappeared from the fleets. Steamships were the future. However, the story of the final years of southern Norway's Age of Sail is well preserved in Kuben's archives. In 2018, 13 of Kuben sailing ship archives were incorporated into Norway's documentary heritage, a record of the most important documents in Norwegian history. In Kuben's maritime archives, you will find thousands of stories, and in this podcast, you will hear some of them. My name is Gaute Christian Molaug. I am a historian and work as an archivist at Kuben in Arendal.
Med det till Riga med plankar och props. Harry och dra får segla till topps. Vinden är stödig och skuta ska gå. Stolt över Viljan blå. Det knakar i taljor och kättingar krin. Där vi våra skute i vår solaskin. Topps segla sväll, vimplande smäll.
After a few minutes, there was a pretty deafening bang. So the streets and houses shook, and bricks and window panes came flying around people's heads. Confusion reigned in the town, with people and animals running hither and thither. On the 29th of April 1884, Havana was hit by a massive explosion. And at the center of the drama was Lars Olsen Skjulestad from Austre Moland. Lars Olsen Skjulestad was 16 years old when he first went to sea aboard a sailing ship in 1872. 4 years later, he passed his mate exam. And in 1882, he became captain. In 1884, Skjulestad was skipper of the Bark Landbø from Arendal. In April, the vessel arrived in Havana, Cuba. While in port, Captain Skjulestad and the rest of the crew had an extremely dramatic experience. The Landbø had just unloaded a cargo of coal, and Skjulestad had gone ashore to organize a pilot and a tugboat when disaster struck. Workers had put some damp gunpowder to dry right outside a gunpowder magazine in the city. The powder had been ignited and exploded, causing the entire magazine to blow up. The magazine contained a whopping 200 tons of gunpowder, along with a ton of dynamite, 1 million cartridges and other military equipment. The massive blast wave caused debris to fly in all directions. Captain Skjulestad hurried back to the Landbø, which he found to his astonishment to be in good condition. Not everyone had been as fortunate. Where the powder magazine had stood, there remained just a heap of rubble. Many buildings had been damaged and lives lost. In a letter to his sister, Randi, Captain Skjulestad wrote, "I hear that the day after they had dug out 37 bodies. but there were apparently many more who will never be accounted for. On board, they saw three or four men run along the beach after the first bang, but when the second one came, everything was swept away. Captain Schulestad and de Landbø left Havana on the 20th of May 1884 and headed to Delaware Breakwater in the United States of America to take on board a new cargo and new experiences. Schulestad was one of many sailors that in the late 19th century sailed on board sailing ships from southern Norway. In the 1870s, southern Norway's vast fleet of sailing ships was crewed by around 15,000 seamen. In Arendal, which was then Norway's largest maritime hub, around 15% of the population were seamen. Seafaring was a young man's occupation. Most of those who went to sea did so at an early age. The youngest were around 10 years old. Operating a sailing ship involved a number of different functions. Seamen, able and ordinary, boatswains, sailmakers, carpenters, cooks, officers and mates. The positions were organized in a hierarchy with the captain as the ship's supreme authority. Life aboard a sailing ship was hard, and not everyone tackled weeks surrounded by nothing but open sea. On the 21st of December 1843, the bark named 17. Mai left Arendal. Captain Frederick Crawford from Grimstad was bound for the Pacific Ocean in search of whales. It was to be a two-year voyage filled with drunkenness, quarrels and poor harvests. Christian Stefansen, a ship owner from Arendal, had taken the initiative for Norway's first whaling expedition to the Pacific Ocean. Many ship owners from Arendal bought shares in the new whaling company. There was a lot of money to be made from whaling. Whale oil was used for lightning and lubrication. Whalebone was used for umbrellas, riding whips and women's stays. The Norwegian crew were unfamiliar with whaling. The crew was expanded with the addition of the French fishing boat skipper Holmer and six French whalers. France was among the foremost whaling nations in the world. Responsibilities on board were divided in two. Captain Crawford was to be in charge of the ship and the Norwegian crew. Captain Holmer was to take care of the whaling and the Frenchmen. It was not long before the two captains fell out, primarily due to the Frenchman's alcohol problems. Holmer was often drunk and quarrelsome. The atmosphere on board became tense. They didn't catch many whales either, despite the fact that the expedition lasted for over 2 years. Captain Crawford claimed that the poor catch was the fault of lazy Frenchmen. In June 1846, the 17. Mai was back in Europe. In the port of Altona, the catch was sold and the proceeds distributed. In August 1846, the ships was back in Arendal. The expedition was a financial disaster, but ship owner Stefansen wanted another expedition. Captain Crawford did not. He had finished with whaling for good. In 1847, the 17. Mai sailed to America under the command of Captain H.F. Bøckmann. The ship was to be fitted out for a new expedition. Bøckmann wanted to recruit American whalers. The attempt failed. Outfitting and crewing cost twice as much as planned. There was no new whaling expedition. Stefansen sold the 17. Mai the following year. Instead, he invested heavily in sail-powered long-distance cargo transport. By the mid-1800s, he had become one of Norway's largest ship owners. During the 19th century, population growth, emigration, industrialization, and economic liberalism led to the boom in international trade, and a consequent need for cargo vessels. There was one incident in particular that really caused Norwegian merchant shipping to take off. In 1849, Britain repealed the Navigation Act. The law prohibited the use of foreign ships to carry goods to and from Britain. Around 1800, Britain was a great power. The country dominated global trade, and its merchant fleet was the largest in the world. The repeal of the Navigation Act therefore created greater shipping opportunities for countries like Norway. In southern Norway, these new opportunities were exploited to the full. A hinterland filled with forests, a long coastline dotted with sheltered coves and inlets, made the area ideal for shipbuilding. Population growth and pressure on resources also provided a plentiful supply of cheap and skilled labor. In the years between 1871 and 1875, more than 250 sailing ships were built along the Nedenes coast. One of the shipbuilders was Anders Henriksen Frisø. When Anders Henriksen Frisø was 8 years old, he started working in the mines near Mørefjær, outside of Arendal. But it was as a master shipbuilder that Frisø would make his mark. Frisø was born in Stokken near Arendal in 1834. At the age of 17, he started training to become a ship's carpenter. After several years as an apprentice, Frisø had learned the trade. Together with 9 friends, Frisø started a shipyard. The timing was perfect. In the mid-1800s, there was a huge demand for sailing ships. Nevertheless, Frisø and his companions were to have a difficult start. A disagreement arose about who should be employed as a master shipbuilder. Then, in 1857, the merchant shipping sector was hit by an economic crisis in the aftermath of the Crimean War. Despite these initial difficulties, Frisø continued to build ships. In 1884, the Melanesia was launched. This was the largest wooden-hulled ship ever built in Arendal. Unfortunately, its quality was not the best. An economic downturn led to corners being cut. Instead of bolts, nails were used. This increased the risk of leaks. In fact, the ship sprang a leak on its maiden voyage and had to be towed to London for repairs. The end came in 1896. Loaded with timber, the ship sank off the coast of Africa. However, the Melanesia was not the only sailing ship to sink during this period. In the summer of 1878, the Bark Norge encountered a sailing ship lying helplessly adrift at the mercy of the weather. The vessel was painted white with Norsk flagg picked out in black letters across its stern. The vessel's masts and bowsprit were broken, and the crew was nowhere to be seen. The Norsk flagg was a bark built at the Hasseldalen shipyard in Grimstad. The captain on board was Nils Christian Nilsen. On the 14th of July 1878, the Norsk flagg had passed the Isle of Scilly off the southwest tip of Cornwall, England. The bark was heading for Charleston in the USA, and the weather was variable with shifting winds. The weather changed on the 18th of August 1878. The wind gusted powerfully from the southeast, followed by torrential rain, thunder and lightning. That night, the wind rose to hurricane force. The next morning, the Norsk Flagg attempted to set course out of the storm center. But the wind pressed the ship over on its side, and several sails were blown to ribbons. The crew feared that the ship would capsize. In an attempt to right the vessel, the crew jointly decided to cut down the foremast. 20 minutes later, the mast was on its way down, but when it fell, it took large portions of the rigging with it. The crew scrambled to cut away the parts that were now hanging down along the ship's side. Without sails and listing heavily to one side, the situation seemed hopeless. The crew then all agreed it was time to abandon ship. The first vessel to pass by was the Bark Victoria, but the waves were still too high for any rescue attempt to be feasible. That evening, the Bark James Kenway arrived on the sea. The waves were still too high, but the James Kenway hove to and remained on station. The following day, the Norwegian crew were brought off safely. On the 14th of September 1878, the James Kenway arrived in Charleston. The same day, Captain Nilsen and the rest of the crew entered the office of John R. Herriot and filed an official report, a so-called sea protest, about the final voyage of the Norsk Flagg. The crew had survived, but the Norsk Flagg would drift helplessly at the sea for many days. Merchant shipping was a risky business. Between 1850 and 1875, around 3,000 Norwegian ships sank. And it would get worse. In 1894, around 6 ships a week went down, and 567 seamen lost their lives. The majority of these vessels were sailing ships, and around a third had their home port in southern Norway. The loss of a ship could have a major financial impact for the ship owners. In the 19th century, therefore, numerous businesses were established to provide marine insurance. The first was founded at Borøya outside Tvedestrand. Oksefjordens Innbyrdes Assuranseselskap, as it was called, was incorporated on the 7th of February 1806. The founders were 24 shipowners residing in the area between Lyngør and Arendal. Underpinning the company's establishment was the notion of mutuality. By standing together, they would share the risk of loss or damage to ships. The company was well received, but did not long survive. Denmark-Norway's participation in the Napoleonic Wars forced many ships to be laid up. There was no longer the same need for marine insurance, and business closed in 1808. However, the need for marine insurance did not disappear altogether. In 1837, Arendals Ships Assuranseforening was established. The company known as Shipsen would, along with Agders Gjensidige Assuranseforening, founded in Grimstad in 1854, go on to dominate the marine insurance sector in southern Norway. From 1885 to 1894, a total of 2,182 Norwegian sailing ships were lost. The increase in the number of vessels lost during this period was no coincidence. After the boom of the 1870s, the shipping sector entered several periods of crisis. Cargoes failed to materialize, and shipbuilding fell sharply. Several ship owners, particularly in southern Norway, invested in cheaper and older sailing ships. For many of the shipbuilders in southern Norway, this led to an economic crisis. In 1895, the Friese shipyard began building the schooner Bjor, but the market had changed. There were few buyers who wanted a newly built wooden sailing ship. I hereby give notice that I closed my enterprise on the 22nd of December 1896, for an indeterminate period of time due to the temporary shortage of liquidity. It is wholly uncertain whether I will ever resume building the ship, since it would be more advantageous for me to let it rot away than complete it. Work did resume, however, and the Bjor was launched in 1899. But for Friese too, the age of sails was coming to an end. In 1906, it was definitely over. The Skog was Friese's last ship, a schooner built of timber, taken from the forests at Hove Farm. Friese, however, was not the only shipbuilder that struggled. After the peak years, there was a rapid decline. Competition from ships built of iron and steel and ships powered by steam engines led to a drop in demand for wooden-hulled sailing ships. Ships made of iron and steel would be larger and carry more cargo. Steam engines also made them faster and, no less important, able to maintain a steady speed. The modern ships were also safer than wooden ships, which reduced the shipowner's insurance costs. Loss of orders led to a crisis for certain Norway shipyards. In the 1890s, most of them shut down. By the early 1900s, there were only a few shipyards left in business. The same fate befell the sailing ship owners from southern Norway. Although steam-powered vessels were taking over more and more cargo, the majority of ship owners in southern Norway continued to invest in sailing ships. Steamships were more expensive to buy and operate, so it was still possible to find profitable cargoes for the sailing ships. During the First World War, from 1914 to 1918, sailing ships experienced a revival. The war led to an acute need for ships. But once the war was over, the last sailing ships were taken out of service. The age of sails was coming to an end. You have now been listening to the podcast called The White Sails, Stories from the Final Years of Southern Norway's Age of Sail. The podcast is made by Aust-Agder Museum Arkiv. Producer is Terje Ellefsen, and the music is performed by the Sailors Choir, Hermanos.
Så lenge skutan kan gå, så lenge hjertet kan slå, så lenge solen en glittrar på bølgjorda blå, om blott en dag eller två, så håll til godo ändå, för det finns många som aldrig en ljusblind kan få. Och vem har sagt hur du kom till världen, för att få solsken och lycka på färden. Stjärnornas glans, det brullar ut i en skans, att få ett kyss eller två i en myrande dans. Ja, vem har sagt att du fru skall ha hörsel och syn, höra böljornas brus och kunna sjunga? Och vem har sagt att du fru skall ha bästa fågel på vågorna sjunga, och hej mot tonarnas gång, och ifall vakten blir lång, så minns jag snart hämtar klockan för dig, ding, ding, dong. Så länge skutan kan gå, så länge hjärtat kan slå, så länge solen den glittrar på böljorna blå, så tar det glädje. Ribbens passat kring kring.